This is Bob, and today I'm talking with Dr. Brett Spigarelli, a metallurgical engineer. He got his bachelor's degree, master's degree, and PhD from Michigan Tech. He worked at Mesaba Nugget as their process development engineer and then at Steel Dynamics in Pittsburgh, Indiana, where he was in charge of their electric arc furnace. He currently is involved heavily with a project to use biocarbon to fuel the steelmaking process. And this is based at the NRRI research facility in Coleraine, Minnesota. Brett, welcome to KTWH Radio.
Thanks for the introduction, and thanks for having the conversation.
Okay. Well, let's start by getting to know you a little. Where did you grow up?
So I grew up in Iron Mountain, Michigan, in the Upper Peninsula.
Okay.
And Iron Mountain is a really big, or used to be a big mining town, so underground mining of iron ore, actually.
Okay. And another question I always ask is, how do you think you got interested in, like, STEM, science, engineering? Any idea?
Yeah, for whatever reason, what vividly sticks out to me is being a child in first grade, I can remember we had somebody come in talking about energy.
Okay.
And the person speaking to us about energy was talking about how people leave their refrigerator doors open to cool off when it's hot outside or hot in their home, and how much energy it wastes. And for whatever reason, that has stuck with me until I'm almost 40. No idea why that's the example, but that's what kind of got me into STEM and energy and where I'm at today, is refrigerator doors being opened.
Cool. I like it. That's very practical. Well, let's see. You apparently had a definite focus on metallurgical engineering from the get-go, I suppose, from living where you did. You did all your college-level work at Michigan Tech, so I assume that you liked it there, right?
Correct. I love Michigan Tech. Fantastic institution.
That's enough said, I guess. That's a glowing endorsement. What about your jobs before showing up at NRRI? From the name Mesaba Nugget, I imagine it was in Minnesota, and it sounds like they produced some kind of lumps of purified iron. Is that close?
Yeah, that's very close, actually. So I got my PhD from Michigan Tech in climate change-related work, carbon dioxide capture and storage, actually. And one of the reasons I went to go work at Mesaba Nugget is they have this alternative iron-making process. It was called IT Mark III. And it was supposed to be, or was, this lower carbon footprint iron-making technology. And I thought, well, that's really interesting. It's still kind of in startup mode, so I can get a lot of really good experience from an industrial standpoint as well, learn a lot really quick. So I ended up going there for a couple of years, and we were making what's called iron nuggets, so
yeah.
smaller pieces of iron that were to be fed to an electric arc furnace.
Okay.
As an iron unit.
And then this Steel Dynamics in Indiana, well, basically, what did they do?
So, yeah, it was a really natural transition, and part of it was due to, in 2015, the downturn on the range sent me down to Indiana for a couple of years there as well. And that was a specialty bar steel mill, so they made all kinds of specialty steel, actually, like for grinding media was one thing we made, rebar, axles, steel for rotors, things like that.
Oh, okay.
And then being the EAF process engineer there, I handled the front end of electric arc furnace steel making, so the raw materials that were brought in, so scrap, other iron units, so like material we're making at Mesaba Nugget, got me really familiar already a little bit with what goes into electric arc furnace steel making for making steel. So it was a real natural transition and really brought in my background in iron and steel making. So I've been on the iron making side with Mesaba Nugget and now on the steel making side with the Pittsburgh facility there in Indiana.
Yeah. So when did you get to NRRI?
I got to NRRI in 2017, in January actually. And first day we moved in, it was 5 or 6 below zero, and it was the kind of what we remember from our times and, you know, lived in Gilbert for a while at Mesaba Nugget, so it was back to cold.
Yeah, there you go. You know, I guess I warned you ahead of time that I'd really like to learn a little more about what we're reading in the papers all over the place right now, and that's that project that apparently you're mixed up in there, and it looks like it's pretty new and it's pretty big. Can you kind of give us the basics, maybe, of how steel is made, and then get into the big picture of NRRI project and what it hopes to do?
Yeah, So most of steel in North America, about 70% roughly in North America of steel, is produced using the electric arc furnace processing route.
Okay.
And the electric arc furnace route, essentially what that makes use of is recycled steel. So scrap, like you think of old automobiles, refrigerators, dryers, washers, you know, things of that nature. Anything where you're recycling steel, electric arc furnaces take advantage of that.
Okay.
And that's where your steel comes from, because steel is almost infinitely recyclable until you get some sort of impurities in there that are obviously not beneficial. So you can keep recycling steel over and over. And that's what the electric arc furnace takes advantage of.
Okay.
So what we are working on then is, even though, so the electric arc furnace process is a technically a lower emission process than the blast furnace, basic oxygen furnace route, which has dominated the steelmaking market for decades here.
Yep.
What we've been trying to do, even though it is a lower CO2 emission footprint process, we've been trying to lower that even further by replacing the coal that's used in that process with an engineered biocarbon material.
Okay.
And what that is coal in the EAF is used for a couple of applications. One is they throw it in as an energy source. So they burn it, they heat it up to provide energy to melt the scrap. The other is largely what they call for forming the slag in the electric arc furnace.
Okay.
So it's essentially injected or shot into the steel when it's molten, and there's a bath, and there's this slag layer on top of it, which is, the slag is the material you don't want in your steel. Essentially, it forms out a separate layer. Think of like oil and water, they're immiscible. So kind of like that. You get this layer on top of your molten steel that is slag. And the adage in steel making often is you make your slag as your product and your steel as your byproduct, because you have to have this slag to remove impurities from the steel.
Okay.
So long-winded way of saying injection carbon promotes the behavior you want out of your slag. It foams it, which increases the height of it, and that helps it remove impurities, protects your reactor walls from deteriorating, protects the electrodes, and insulates it, keeps the heat in your molten bath.
Gotcha. Okay. I get that. And so this big project then, where are you in that process right now? I saw somewhere recently that you are looking forward to getting, I don't know what you'd call it, but a somewhat smaller than industrial scale piece of equipment to start trying stuff out.
Mm-hmm. Yep. We just finished year one of the grant, which was really exciting for us. So I should say budget period one. So we're about 16 months in right now, not year one. So budget period one, or phase one of the work, where we were studying engineering injection carbon. So we've taken a bunch of different biomass materials,
local
essentially anything we could get our hands on biomass materials, made biocarbon out of them, or charcoal is another way to think of it for people that aren't familiar with this. So we've made a bunch of different kinds of biocarbon or charcoal and mixed them with some special materials we have to improve the performance. Densified them, so made it more heavy, essentially, because it has to be a certain density to be useful.
Okay.
So we just finished that work, and through that work, we developed a novel procedure that, from what we can find, nobody in the world is using to date, in collaboration with Nucor, who's a huge electric arc furnace steelmaker. So it really validates the work we're doing in a way to have industry support there, especially a big electric arc furnace steelmaker. And where we are going now is, so now that we've proven this sort of pilot scale procedure out, we're looking to acquire some equipment to actually produce commercial scale quantities of material for testing in an actual electric arc furnace.
Ah, okay. So, you know, that's sort of a theme that I keep hearing at NRRI is you have ways, or you find ways to test out these ideas before the companies have to spend the huge bucks to change something over.
Just has a fantastic group of researchers up and down the fundamental to applied research stream. So we're really good at de-risking, and this is another really good example of de-risking this work for companies that otherwise would have to essentially go to a biocarbon producer and just be like, hey, can you produce us 20 tons of this material? Then they would put it in their furnace. And if it doesn't work, right? They have no way to screen it before it gets to their system, but now they do because of what we've developed.
Okay, I get it. Well, that's a good deal.
Yeah, it'll save them a lot of money and time, hopefully.
Yeah, that benefits everybody. And if you can do that, then I guess you don't have to be sitting on top of a coal mine somewhere to make it economical.
Right, correct.
Wow.
Yeah, hopefully we can use our natural resources throughout North America.
Yep. Well, cool. I think that gives us a better idea, certainly, than I ever had about this. And so let's switch gears completely. Why not? We have a general audience. I'd like to get out there to a lot of students with the messages, too. And is there anything based on your experience, the way you got to where you are, that you'd like to tell students who are liking chem, say, in high school, STEM in high school, and deciding on their future beyond high school?
Yeah, if you're interested, like students today are interested in math, science, any of those types of fields, all those STEM fields. I know they can be challenging at times, and it can be kind of disheartening. I've gone through stuff as a STEM individual myself, and stick with it, because the end, the learnings, the exciting work you get to do is worth any challenging math problem or chemistry problem you might run into. It's worth any frustration that you encounter. So stick it out and enjoy it, because it is a lot of fun in the end.
You know, I just talked to a guy a couple weeks ago that I used to know back at UMD, who's a chemist at 3M. And he had a great comment. He said, you know, what he thought you should do is keep taking math till you can't take it anymore.
Yeah, that is, math is, it is, ends up being the foundation. And when you get out into the real world as an engineer, depending where you go, your how much you use of it is varies, but it is a tool that you're going to use for the rest of your life.
All righty. Well, I'll tell you what, before we button this up, I'll give you a kind of a free rein here too. Is there anything that, or shout outs or anything that we haven't touched upon that you'd like to mention before we wrap her up?
Just a shout out to NRI in general, the group of Natural Resources Research Institute. If listeners aren't familiar with it, I highly encourage you to go out there, check out our website. If you know anybody from NRI, reach out, have a conversation. We're all scientists, researchers. We love where we work. We love what we do. I would recommend talking to us, hearing what we do, and hopefully get you excited, or future STEM students excited about working at organizations like NRI. We need more people advocating for the type of work NRI does, the impactful research that we do every day.
Great. Well, that's a good way to end this too. So what I'll do right here is just button it up. But hey, thank you very much for giving us this interview.
Oh, thank you, Bob. Really appreciate the opportunity.
Okay. And that was Brett Spigarelli, metallurgical engineer at the Natural Resources Research Institute.